Good morning, Tom Brady. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, up 31-3 in the fourth quarter. Was that just human nature kicking in on all fronts with the New England Patriots, or is there something a little more, I used the word nefarious earlier at work here?
I don't even know what nefarious means.
Evil, bad, something, you know, malignant.
Okay. No, I just think we just didn't execute very well. So offensively, we didn't get a first down in the fourth quarter. So if we can't do that, you're not going to do much in terms of helping your defense out either. So, no, we're up 31-3, and I think everyone, is obviously happy with that. But we'd like to close the game out a lot better than we did yesterday.
Some of your teammates described the victory, and we need to keep in mind that it was a victory. And you tell us every single week it's hard to win in the National Football League, as unsatisfying. Somebody said disappointing, and one teammate actually called it embarrassing. What would you term it? What did that win feel like to you?
Well, it's just our inconsistency that's showed up from time to time this year. So I mean, we really yet to play a 60-minute game. I'd really love to see, what the outcome is if we do play a 60-minute game. But there's things that are just that haven't really allowed us to be able to do that. And hopefully we can get those things straightened out here, going into this week's game. So. We've won four straight. I mean, we had two pretty tough losses back-to-back, 6 weeks ago, and then, we've won four straight. So we're in a good position. We've obviously got some huge games ahead, but, what more could you ask for in middle of December to be leading your division by a couple games and really could put a lot of pressure if we go on win this week on the competition.
Based on Belichick's mood at the podium after the game, I assume this is going to be used as a teaching moment for the coach?
Yeah, well, he's always teaching. I mean, he was honest all last week about finishing a game,
right.
and I think that's the disappointing part was there was a lot of emphasis that he put into that, and we didn't really play to that, so... I think that was just the disappointing part, and we got to do a better job of that as players. We're all accountable. Certainly I am. I could have done a much better job on a couple throws during the fourth quarter that I didn't make very good throws on. If I do that, then, it's a whole different outcome to the game.
But isn't it a whole different approach when you're up 31-3? You say you could all do better. You didn't have a first down, but aren't you at that point, I don't want to say sitting on the lead, but calling different plays, Tom, when you're up 28 points?
Yeah, I think we're in a bit of a different mode. I mean, I think even though you change modes, you don't really change your level of, you don't go, okay, well, let's just go out and punt now. I mean, I think you say, okay, well, we may try to do a few different things just to control the tempo of the game, but, at the same time, we still need to go out and execute, and there's no excuse for not executing. I thought we did a really good job of that for about five or six drives there. In the second quarter and third quarter, which is really good and really gave us control of the game. But it's no one's going to, walk away from a game like that and go, man, that was really, great performance by us. That was good enough yesterday. And when you play a good team, we're going to need to play well for 60 minutes.
Well, we were ready to say that when it was 31-3. I heard a number of people say that the problem the Colts have is they're designed to play with the lead. When they have Manning, they would have the lead. And the other team's throwing to catch up, so they have good pass rushers. Does that make sense to you that team you played yesterday and have played over the years is designed to get the lead and play with the lead?
Well, they've done that over the years. For a long time they've gotten a lead. They have very good offensive skill players. I mean, Pierre Garçon and Reggie Wayne and Austin Collie, along with their running backs. And Tammy, they got a really good group. And the way that the quarterback was throwing the ball yesterday, he was putting the ball right where he needed to be. So, I think offensively we could have done a much better job there in the fourth quarter of, gaining first downs and running the clock out and, putting together a long drive to go up 38-3. But we just didn't do it. And I think that going three and out like we did and just putting the pressure back on our defense and going three and out again was really disappointing for our offense.
Tom, the discussion and the speculation is starting to grow that the 0-12 Colts don't think being in a position to draft Luck is really, really a bad thing. And with all due respect to the job that Light and Solder did on Mathis and Freeney, who, by the way, totaled zero sacks and two assisted tackles, did you see any sign out there that they weren't busting their ass and giving 100%?
No, not at all. Not at all. They play very hard, and they don't back off anything. They haven't all season. I mean, I think what you see from them is they play extremely hard. I mean, they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, so I think they did feel like they were, there was no quitting them, certainly.
Hey, the third touchdown for Gronkowski, in practice, is that a lateral or a forward pass?
Forward pass.
Obviously, it doesn't matter. I mean, you don't care that he didn't break the record yesterday, do you?
No, I don't. The only thing in terms of the execution of that play is you want it to be a forward pass in case it drops on the ground. But it wasn't. So, I'm glad it ends up being a lateral, which, if you don't execute it right, then the ball's loose on the ground with them having the opportunity to recover it. So
I'm guessing that you knew right away from your angle, you obviously know, there was a lateral. Did you kind of roll your eyes when everyone was celebrating the new record and say, give him a minute to review the tape here?
No, I thought it was a forward pass, but
oh, you did.
I did. I mean, I don't know if it was or not. It was close either way. It didn't feel like it was backward to me. But
Gronk found the silver lining. He said that was his first rushing touchdown. He said, in fact, it was the first rush. And I think Peter King said, that's the first time you've ever rushed a football in your career. He said, I've never ran with a football in my life, and I get a touchdown in the NFL on my first one.
That's pretty good. Gronk always finds the silver lining in life.
Hey, seems like a great play. I asked this earlier, Tom. You're up at that point 24-3 when you run it. Any thought to saving a play like that? And how many plays do you say, we got to save this, for another game, and we don't want to show
a critical moment.
We don't want to show everything to our next opponent.
What happens is you go into the next week game, and we never lack for plays on the call sheet that we like. I think one thing about it's challenging for offenses is always plays we like. So it's probably more of a problem narrowing down our game plan to get to really a core group of plays that we feel like we can call, rather than, saving plays. I mean, there's probably 40 or 50 plays on the call sheet yesterday that I wish we would have called. So we'll go on the next week game also with just as many plays, that we like. You just can't get them all called.
Last year, when in Gronk and Hernandez rookie year, you talked about them getting into the playbook. And you said, well, they think they know what they're talking about, but they're only through the first playbook. We have two or three more. From start to finish, A to Z, how many different plays are available? And I know you only call 40 or 35 of them, but I mean, how many plays are in existence in this playbook?
We have a ton, and we're a game plan team, so we, there's things that probably we've never run that could be on the call sheet next week against Washington, and then there's plays that in a different formation or look you may have in every week, but it all comes down to getting the ball to the guys that are the most dependable guys, and. You're always finding ways to get the ball to Rob and Aaron and Wes and Dion and Chad, and to get the ball to those guys with some space so they can do something with it. And you can see from week to week, they're doing good things with it. So any play where Gronk is the first read on the play, I like. And, same with Wes. It's like, how can you not like those plays?
And it all starts with a center snap, and maybe we take for granted the fact that Nick McDonald steps in there off the practice squad a couple of weeks ago, and as far as I could tell, there were no big mistakes and no fumbled exchanges.
No, there was none of those. We did a lot of things yesterday, too, in terms of changing the cadence and the tempo of the game and so forth, but I think one thing that we really did a good job and have improved on the last 4 weeks, which we talked about after the Giant game, was turnovers. So, if there are things that are real positive about that, we just haven't turned it over, which is great. And the defense is getting us the ball. So that was really a huge key to what we did down the stretch last year in terms of getting the ball from the from the opposing offense and us not turning the ball over. And that continues to be a huge factor in every game.
But the role of a center stepping in like that and having it all go fairly well is not just a given thing, is it not? I mean, that's unusual to have it go that well for somebody who's that new.
Of course. And that's just, it's really a credit to Nick and the work that he put in last week. But, you know, taking care of the football starts with the center quarterback exchange. Mm. And that's you've got to execute the most basic play in football, was getting the ball from the center to the quarterback. And we spent a lot of time last week trying to get to be able to do it and to be forced into that situation where, you know, basically Nick's been on the practice squad. And then to elevate him to the roster and have him step in was really a great job by him.
Hey, Tom, can you tell us what Taylor Price did wrong?
It's really not right for me to comment on any of that. I don't get into that. I mean, I don't make any of the decisions. I really don't. I enjoyed Taylor. I enjoyed, you know, working with him, and I obviously wish him the best of luck.
You don't quite get what, like running the wrong routes or maybe off the field, on the field. It's hard to gauge, hard to figure why a third-round pick with such promise is now out of a job and gets beaten out by guys, you know, off the practice squad or guys off the street.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens every year, every team. I mean, there's guys that, for one reason or another, don't fit on a certain team, and other guys really do step in and fit. So it's just, Wes was undrafted and got cut by the Chargers, and look at him now.
Right.
So you look at guys like that, and you go, man, well, obviously he didn't fit for the Chargers, for the Dolphins, but he sure as hell fits for us.
Tom, can you explain technically or schematically or in any way you possibly can why you thought the running game wasn't nearly as effective yesterday against a team that I believe is 31st or 32nd against the run, and you had been running it pretty well?
Yeah, we had been running it pretty well, and we got into a game yesterday where we had one possession in the first quarter. So in the second and third quarter, you know, we really scored a lot of points, and we were really kind of on the run, it was really fast. So there weren't many rushing opportunities. And then in the third quarter, we had three and outs. So it's really there's not a lot of opportunity in the running game when we're three and out, which, you know, we did that there in the fourth quarter. And I thought we did a real good job in the second and third quarter of taking advantage of what we thought we could. We put a lot of pressure on them with our up-tempo offense, and guys were making a lot of plays in the passing game. So we just I don't even know how many rushing attempts we had yesterday, but there probably weren't too many.
No running back likes to fumble the ball, obviously, for all the obvious reasons, but I've never seen such a sour look on anybody's face as there was on Kevin Faulk's face when he thought he'd fumbled or wasn't sure he was, and it got overturned. I mean, it looked like he was ready to throw up in his mouth.
Yeah, well, Kev's a perfectionist. He wants it. He wants to contribute. He wants to be out there. When he gets his opportunities, he wants to do really well with them. So, you know, any time where it's questionable, where, you may think you fumbled the ball, he was disappointed, but, you know, he's a hell of a player. He has been since the day he walked in the door here, and he made some real good plays there in the two-minute drill before halftime to get us down the field, which was, huge getting that touchdown before halftime.
Hey, you know better than anyone what it's like to go undefeated in a regular season. The Packers are 12-0. I know you don't care what's going on. You're focused on your own game, but Do you like the chances to go 16 or should I say 18-0?
Yeah, well, you're always watching all the good teams around the league, and I always try to watch the Packers and the Saints and see what they're doing offensively. But, you know, they're having a hell of a year. They're tough to beat, I'll tell you that. I remember we're going through that, you know, in order to beat our team, and we had a lot of depth that year in 07, but there was a lot of margin for error that we had. So, you know, you just, when you play really good teams, you're not going to be able to make mistakes. They've been in some close games. They found ways to win close games, and they've blown out a lot of teams. So, we played them last year, late in the year, and they were really good last year, and they didn't even have Aaron in there last year as their quarterback. So with the way that he's playing football right now, it's going to be tough for any team.
What's the hardest thing? It's just the questions every week or the pressure that builds as you get closer to the end of the line here, end of the season?
Well, it's just trying. No, there's nothing, you know, there's no one thing. It's just a matter of, you know, to win. Like I said, win an NFL game is hard to do. It really is. There's good players, and there's fluky things that could happen on any single day. So it's just the consistency of playing good football day in and day out. That's the biggest challenge, more so than dealing with questions on a Wednesday afternoon. It's right. Lining up on Sunday afternoon and playing your best game. So that's obviously the most challenging part.
Did Peyton Manning tell you what he plans to do? Everyone's wondering here. What did he tell you? Is he coming back next year? Is he playing somewhere else? Is he going to stay with the Colts? What do you think?
Well, he said he felt better, so he's a tough guy. He's as tough as anybody. Obviously, with him never missing a game up until this point, and you know, even going into training camp, he thought he was going to play. So he's a hell of a player, man. He's a hell of a player. Watching him over the years, I mean, he's someone that I've always watched and tried to learn from, in a lot of aspects of his game that he does better than anybody else. So, I would never count against a guy like that.
Does the pregame conversation take on a different tone since you're not going to be competing that day? In fact, would you even have that conversation pregame if he were suiting up?
No. No, probably not. Probably not till after the game.
All right. That takes us to the question of the week, brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side by side at autotrader.com. Tom, have you ever had a philosophical discussion with Bill Belichick about what your role and responsibility is in terms of answering questions to the media? Because your styles are obviously different. He tells the media nothing. While you don't give away any state secrets or tell us how many plays specifically are in the playbook, you do sort of expound on your answers and give us some information. Talk about the difference in philosophies between you and Bill.
Well, there's only one, you know, Bill Belichick. There's no one that can be like him. I think that's it's really his personality. He's not trying to act a certain way. It's just the way he is. So everybody is the way they are. And what you hear from myself when I speak, or Billy O'Brien when he speaks, or Nick Cesario when he speaks, that's everybody's own personality. If you got me, in some other situation, I'd probably speak the same way, and so would Coach Belichick. So it's just a matter of your level of comfort and answering questions, and we do it so often that, you know, after a while, your personality comes out, and Coach Belichick has to talk to the media 6 days a week. I don't have it that bad where I have to talk 6 days a week, but 3 days a week for me, which is, at some point, the only thing I really like doing during the week is getting ready to play the game.
I think his philosophy is the shorter the better on these media interviews, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
The shorter
always.
The better.
Yeah, always.
All right, Tom, good luck next week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Thank you. Take care.